Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Verse 6. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the peace, and the God of peace, will be with you. Amen. Amen. Our Father, would you meet us now in the scriptures and lead us in the truth of these verses. Show us how they apply to our lives. And then, Lord, grant us the great, great grace of God to order our lives according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Our subject for today is leaving with joy, gentleness, and peace. Leaving with joy, gentleness, and peace. Now, for those of us who are together in Bible study, you know, we just finished the book of Philippians, right? And you know that Philippians is one of the letters that Paul wrote from prison. Yes? The thing about the Christian is that the Bible says there are times that you're cast down, but you're never destroyed, right? You're perplexed, but you're never driven to despair. And so it doesn't mean that we won't have situations that are hard, but it means that God never allows me to slip into despair to where I think that I've got no hope at all, right? The Bible says he'll never do that. He'll always make a way of what? Escape, so that you're able to bear up under the pressure. So here's a man who served God with his whole heart. You know all the sacrifices that he made. And he winds up at the end of his ministry. You see, most of us are looking forward to the best part of life and ministry as we get older. But he realized that I've served God and this is the result. He winds up in prison. And he was there, though, with understanding of the situation. And he was there in the peace of God. Look at chapter 1, verses 12, 13, and 14. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. You see that? I'm in prison, but my imprisonment is pushing what? The gospel forward. That's the right perspective, you see? God is still causing what? All things to work together for good. Now, you remember how Joseph had to tell his brothers? You intended it what? For evil, but God intended it for good. Right? You get it? And so you see how he says is that it really served to advance the gospel. Look at verse 13. So that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. The jailers, my captors actually have learned the gospel. You see, you can put people in prison, but you can't chain up the gospel, right? You can kill people, but you can't kill the gospel. You get it? And so when you face adversity, when you've got understanding, then you can have this joy and gentleness and peace that we're talking about. You got it so far? So then finally, verse 14, and he said, most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Isn't that amazing? This brother is in prison and he sees God is already causing good to come from it. You got it? And you see, in this letter, Paul encourages believers to persevere. Don't give up on righteousness just because it's hard, just because your life now causes all kind of trouble for you. Trouble on your job. I remember One of my bosses, before I retired, they put me on the really hardcore boss. And he came in my office one day, and I was reading my Bible. And so he looked at me, he says, "Willie, you make sure you read that thing on your own time." I said, "I do, it's lunch." And so I did not, you know, I wanted him to know I'm not misusing my time here. But I also knew that he had no respect for Christians. And so that didn't discourage me from being a faithful employee, because I was doing my service as what? As unto the Lord. Okay? This letter it encourages believers to persevere. The letter overflows with the theme of joy and thankfulness and humility. And so I want you to see today that there was three commands that that Paul gave here. And he says that these commands are always to be in our lives. All right. And these are the commands that we're going to look at today. These three commands are to always be in our lives. And these are the commands: joy, gentleness, and peace. They're always, always to be in the believer's life. Okay. And so that's the reason I'm saying to you today, we're leaving here today, but God wants us to leave the same way, with joy, with gentleness, and with peace. And I want to unpack that just a little bit, and then we'll be done for the day. So first of all, I want you to see that that joy is commanded, or if you will, as an exhortation given to us for joy. In verse 4, when he says, "Rejoice in the Lord," that is that's an imperative. That's a command given from God to those immediate Christians and to you and I. The word is karo, in the Greek. And the word means to have a godly attitude of gladness and a godly attitude of well-being. Joy is not happiness. Happiness can come out of joy, but joy is this attitude that God gives you that's really, we're going to get to this in a minute, that the circumstances don't dictate, okay? So it's this attitude that God gives. That's the reason he can say, "Count it all joy," regardless of what kind of trial you're facing, okay? So it's this attitude of gladness and well-being. I want you to notice that because of that, it's not this fickle kind of, you've had this, you remember this laughter movement that came through, I don't know, it was a number, I can't remember, it's been quite a while, some of you young people may not know about it, but we had this, yeah, the holy laughter and that whole thing, that's foolishness. That's not what, joy isn't like that. You know, joy can be expressed in lots of ways. Joy sometimes is expressed in tears. Joy can be, as you read the psalmist, joy can be expressed in shouts of praise, okay? Singing. The psalmist talks about praising God with songs, right? This joy is to be come from God to you and to be expressed so that others can see, right? Rejoicing is something that people can see and observe. Now, you notice that he calls it the joy in the Lord. You got that in verse 4? Rejoice in the Lord. And so, what does that mean? That means that every Christian has a real relationship with Jesus. So the same joy that's available to me is available, what? To you. God is not biased. I don't get anything special. Thank God for that. God isn't a biased father. He gives good gifts to all of his children. And this joy is available to everyone. And here's what I want you to remember. Because it's based on the relationship, it's also based on your faith in Christ. There are times when you just, Haven't you had this where you just can't figure out your situation? Have you had that? It just makes no sense. And that's the reason the Bible says, trust in the Lord, what? With all your heart, and don't lean to your understanding. Don't lean to how it looks to you. Amen. Yeah? Amen. See, it's faith in Christ that gives me the joy to go on. Because everything I see makes absolutely no sense. It made no reasonable sense for Paul to be in prison for having given his life for Christ. But his faith was anchored in Christ. To live what? It's Christ. That's what he said, right, early on. And what? To die is gain. So, you see, this real relationship that he had meant that I can have joy when it makes no sense to me. People look at me and think I'm out of my mind. Because your situation is crazy. How in the world can you have joy? Now, see, that's the reason it's not silliness and giggliness and that kind of thing. Amen. It's real what? Joy. I'm good. Yeah. And so, you see, you're not lying to people. They say, well, how are you doing? When you say all is well, that's not lying. Amen. That's just a fact. I mean, the situation is messy. Right. But you remember what the widow said? All is well. The woman, when her son died, all is well with my what? With my soul.
Yeah.
Okay? That's real joy. You got it? And so, that's the command. And what I want you to see then is that though he also gives some conditions, though. When you have joy, Paul describes some situations where he had joy. Find verse 1, chapter 1 and verse 18. Look at these situations where Paul had joy in spite of the situation. Here he's got some preachers that are preaching the gospel in pretense. But you got verse 18? What then? He's saying, only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. He rejoiced even though he knew he had phony preachers around him, preachers who were trying to make his life hard. He said, but I can still have joy because the gospel is being preached, even though they have wrong intentions and motives behind it. Okay? You got verse chapter 2? Look at verse 17. Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me. Even when you know that your life is, some people would call it being wasted. You're not pursuing the career that you're well educated and you find yourself not doing what you could do. Your potential, you find yourself not living up to the potential that you thought you could make on a natural scale, okay? And you find out that it looks like my life here is being wasted away. Paul says, if my life is going to be poured out sacrificially for Christ and for Christ's people, I find joy in that.
Amen.
Now, this is, my brother, sister, this is what I mean by having real joy. You see, if your joy is based on how we're going to leave this place, you're going to miss it.
Amen.
Uh-huh. Joy ain't about this place or about these people.
Right.
It ain't the joy of the place or the joy of the people.
Right?
It's joy what?
The
in the Lord. It's of the Lord and it's in the Lord. You get it?
Mm-hmm.
That's where it's anchored. It's anchored there. If I have to go by myself, my joy is anchored. That's where Paul, he was in prison alone.
Yeah.
Look at Jesus. All of the ones that he served poured out his life for them. And he told them, the day is coming when I'm going to be alone. All of you are going to leave me. But I'm good with that because I'm doing my Father's will. Every Christian in this room should be so confident that you're in. That's why I tell everybody that comes here, don't come here because of me or any other person. You come here because it's God's will.
Amen.
That'll anchor you when all others fail you, including me.
Yeah.
When you are in God's will, you can stand.
Amen.
Yeah. And if you run, I promise you, it'll be the most miserable part of your life. Just like Jonah. So I can tell anybody, if God has called you here and you're trying to run, I've done it. And see, all of us go through these times to where we get tired. Yeah? So you need what? Joy to anchor you. Yeah? Yeah? And so this is the, even though he talked about circumstances where this joy could be had, you notice that in this particular command in chapter 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord, what? Always, which means it's independent of circumstances. I need to have this joy all the time. You see, it's just like breathing. How many of you, I know you're going to do it now because I'm telling you. How many of you thought, it's time to inhale or it's time to exhale? We don't do that, do we? Why? Because it's a natural part of life for you. Joy is to be the same way. You don't need to think, oh, I need to have joy. No, that's not what he's talking about. You got it. So he's saying, use it. It's already, right? The fruit of the Spirit is love. So if you're a Christian, you already got joy in you.
That's right.
Stop praying for it.
Amen.
Exercise the joy that's in you. You say, well, if Willie would do this or if he'd do that. Well, see, your joy is dependent upon Willie. You got it? It's not the joy of Willie. It's what? The joy of the Lord. You get this? That's the way you will have it always. Yeah? Always. And this is God's plan for all of us. When a Christian responds this way, it reveals that the Lord is greater than any problem I'm having. It reveals that the Lord is greater than any pain. Any problem, any pain, God is great. You remember in Romans 5, after Paul has said, having been justified by faith, you know, we have peace with God. And then he goes on, I believe, in verse 3 to say, and we exult. Let me read it. Can you turn to Romans 5? Sometimes it's just best to read. So put your eyes on it in there. Therefore, you can remember. You got Romans 5? Look at verses 3 and 4. Now, he's already talked about having peace with God because he's been justified, having access to God by faith. Now, notice verse 3. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings. And here's the reason. Knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. You see that? And so when you reach the point to where you can settle in on joy, you can say, I rejoice even in my suffering because I know God has a purpose for it. No, God wastes no suffering in anybody's life. Nothing you have ever gone through is wasted. That's a good God there.
Amen.
Can take every pain, every hurt, every dilemma, and use it for our good. Every saint ought to be able to say amen. And then, not only is it joy, but he says that gentleness is also ours. And so you notice in verse 5. Now in the ESV, it's called reasonableness. You, right? Let me get back there. You say verse 5, read, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. That's the word epiakēs. Okay, you can see phonetically how it's spelled there. So, but the word means not insisting on your own rights. Okay?
Amen.
Right? It means being gracious or gentle. Even though I'm being done wrong, remember the Bible refers to Jesus as what? Meek and lowly, right? He was referred to as being gentle. Even though he was being done unjust, he didn't demand his rights. Okay? And so that's what this word means. And when he says, let your reasonableness be known, that's what he's commanding us to do. It's to let your gracious character be known. Let your gentle character be known. And you notice that this is available to all believers. This is still to those that are in the Lord. Every believer in here can be gentle. You say, well, I'm just not made like that. Right. That's the reason the Holy Spirit is there to remake you. You've been born again. No, you weren't born like that. But the Holy Spirit says, I've come and I'm making you a new person. Every man in Christ is what? A new creation. Old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. You are brand new. You've been made new for the new creation that's coming. You knew what God is going to bring, a new heaven and a new earth. You're going to be there because you're new. So stop saying, I can't, I can't, I can't. Yes, you can.
Yeah.
In the Holy Spirit, you can be gentle. I know that's not your nature. He's calling all of us to listen to him. And notice this gentleness is just the opposite of being violent, quarrelsome, or unjust. And I want to turn to these real quick. I know you could just jot them down, but I want you to put your eyes on them. You got 1 Timothy 3:3. Gentle is just the opposite of a violent person. And the Bible often contrasts this so you can see what it means. In the qualification for a pastor or a bishop or an elder, an overseer, you got that in 1 Timothy 3:3? It says that a pastor and overseer must be gentle. Now, you notice how it contrasted. You got verse 3. Not what? Violent, but gentle. So, gentle is just the opposite of being what? Violent. For those who say, well, I just got a bad temper and I can't control myself, God says, yes, you can. And if that's your nature, then you're not qualified to be a pastor or an overseer, an elder. Okay? Yes?
Amen.
And so the Holy Spirit shows us then that it's just the opposite of being violent. Can you find Titus? Titus chapter 3 and verse 2. To speak evil of no one, to avoid quarreling, to be gentle. So you see, it's just the opposite of a person that wants to debate all the time, wants to argue all the time. Gentle is this gentleness is just the opposite. A gentle person knows how to wait until you settle down, until you're ready, until you what? Ready to reason. Because us sitting here debating is not going to solve anything. One's going to win this part of the argument, the other's going to win this part of it, but nothing is settled because we're not reasoning. Yeah? So you see the point? And then finally, it's not unjust. 1 Peter, can you find that? 1 Peter 2 and verse 18. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the, you got it? Unjust. So you see, this gentleness is just the opposite of all of those traits. And I just want you to hear me say that regardless of what you think about your past, you can be gentle, Christian. And God wants us to leave this place knowing that you can and you should be gentle to other believers. Yes, should have joy, and we should be gentle. The condition, though, that he gives is that this gentleness shouldn't just be limited to Christians. When you're around Christians, you don't argue. When you're around Christians, you're not violent. When you're not Christians, you're unjust. But when they see you out in other environments, you're not that way. He says, no, let your reasonableness or your gentleness be known to what? Everyone. Yeah? This is the way I'm to be, not just at church. Not just on Wednesdays, not just a growth group, right? You know that old It's a wonderful, I don't know who first coined this, but someone asked the question, if you were on trial, remember that, for being a Christian, what? Would there be enough evidence against you? You know, you're on trial for being a Christian. Would they have enough evidence against you to prove that you are what? A Christian. All of us need to think about that, don't we? Would the people that know us, I'm not talking about Christians, would the people that know us know that there's enough evidence about your life to say that you are, what? A Christian all the time. Yeah? Amen. That's what God wants, all the time. And so this gentleness is to be known by everyone. And then he says, believers, we've got a motivation. Why? Because Jesus is coming again. And he's coming sooner than people think. You know, we're anticipating moving to this new building. Jesus may come before we ever get over there.
Well,
right? We need to live right now. We may never walk in that door over there. And even if he doesn't come for everybody, he might come for you. Yes?
Amen.
And so I want to be ready when? All the time. Yeah?
Amen.
I want joy and gentleness all the time. And then finally, he speaks about peace. Can you get back to Philippians? Because this is really important too. Joy is wonderfully important to us, but so is peace. And you notice that when it comes to peace, we have the command that's in the negative. The command is to not be anxious. You see that in verse 6? Do not be anxious about what? Anything. Do not. And you, again, you see the word. I put these words up there so that if you want to look them up, they'll help you. The word is marimnao. Marimnao. And it means to not, and you get this now. It means to not have unreasonable concern about something. Or unreasonable care. Because you know how we Christians, we know how to word things. When we're worrying, we worry them by saying, I'm just concerned about him. Or I'm just concerned about her. Or I'm just concerned about my finances. When we really mean is I'm worried. Okay? Because we know the semantics. But you see what, and there is reasonable concern that we should have. But this word means unreasonable concern. You devote too much time to it. When you could be doing things for God and things that God wants you to do, you're spending time, what? Concerned about matters that you can't fix. Is that what Jesus said? You have no control over the hairs of your head, over whether you can grow 1 inch or not. All of those things that we seem to let dominate our time. So do not be anxious means to not have unreasonable concern, because this concern dominates a believer's thinking and distracts us from the will of God. And then let's lastly look at the conditions, because this is what drives it home. The believer should not have unreasonable concern about any circumstance, any issue of life, anytime. Right? You go back to it. You got verse 6. Do not be anxious about what? Anything. No circumstance, no issue of life should dominate unreasonable thinking on my part. Okay? Let's look at the next condition. The next condition is that the remedy to worry is prayer. All right? Now follow it. You got the verse? Do not be anxious about anything, but what? In everything. Now, you see how those two go together. Don't worry about anything, but pray about what? Everything. Now, you get that, right? Don't worry about anything. Just pray about everything, and that'll keep you from worry. And so every one of us then needs to think about our prayer life. Do I spend more time sitting thinking about issues than I do talking to God about them? Do I spend more time over here talking to myself? That's because, see, that's what worry is. I'm sitting here talking to myself. You ever do that? Scratching my head, trying to figure out how to. And it's amazing. When you're used to pushing pennies around, you can maneuver things and try to figure out how to make it work until God finally puts you in the corner and there ain't no pennies to push around.
Wow.
Right. But see, if your pattern is worry, you're still going to sit over there and scratch your head about it. And God says, stop talking to yourself so much about your issues and talk to me. You get that? And so he says, when you do that, then the result is that I will give you what? Peace. You got it? Look, go back to the verse. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And here's the result, verse 7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and mind and your minds in Christ Jesus. Yeah? So God wants me to be over here in peace, not over there worried. Now, the same situation. I got all the same problems over here. Right? The problems haven't been fixed, but I'm at peace with it. You get it? Joy, gentleness, peace in a mess of problems. You getting this? This is what God, I want you to have that what? Every day. Don't let your joy, gentleness, and peace be fickle just because you're on the roller coaster. You see, I'm joyful when everything's working out for me, but on the downside, when the roller coaster's headed down to the valley, I'm just miserable. And God says, I want you to learn to have joy and not like your emotions. You're not just all over the place. You got it? I want you to be gentle, not just when people are gentle to you. I want you to learn to be gentle when people are the rudest to you. Right? Love is patient and kind. It's not what? Rude. Yeah? Yes? And so God says, I want to work that character out in you when it's not easy. So that you can see the grace enables me to do what I naturally wouldn't do. I know that I naturally wouldn't be responding to this situation that way, right? You say, I'm a natural worrier. So God says, I want to break that. I want to break that yoke that's on your neck. You do not have to worry. Learn to pray. Get it? See, God doesn't call us to do anything that he doesn't have a remedy for. When he tells you to stop doing one thing, he tells you to stop doing what's wrong, start doing what's right. Get it? And so that's his desire and his plan for us to, how does Peter say, love life and have what? Good days. That's what God wants for you. You believe that?
Yes.
He wants that for everybody. He wants every Christian to love life and have good days. And then finally, you see, prayer is how you get it. Thinking and lifestyle is how you maintain it. See? You can't just get peace. You got to keep it. And that's where Christians often miss it. Once you get it, and now you let your guards down, and you find yourself back over here worrying again because you didn't maintain the peace that God gave you. So you see what he does? Look at verse 8. Then he shows you, now that you got peace and you prayed through the situation, you finally can breathe a sigh of relief. He says, now I want to show you how to stay there in that place of peace. You got it? Verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things, right? So thinking is the first thing that has to keep me in peace. But then he says, he didn't stop there, verse 9, what you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, what's the verb? Practice. You got to think right. And you got to do right if you're going to maintain peace. Okay? Think the way God wants you to think and do what God wants you to do, and he'll keep you in peace. How does Isaiah say it? He'll keep you in perfect peace. Those whose what? Minds are stayed on you. Right? Was that 26:3 or something like that? God will keep you in perfect peace whose minds are stayed on him. Now, I want to say this and I'll be done. The word for thinking is, I believe it's logizomai. Logizomai. Now, it's a mathematical word. All right? It means to meditate, but it's also a mathematical term which means to calculate. Get it? So when you sit down to deal with your problems, you need to meditate and calculate. Okay? And see, when you meditate and calculate, you need to sit there and add things up. Okay. But let God show you how they add up. If you lean to your own understanding, you add up and they always equal negative.
Yeah.
Paul's in prison, so if he used his mind to add all this up, I served God 30 years and here I am, wind up in prison, this is negative. I wind up with less than zero. But this brother is over here saying, no, I'm at peace. I'm rejoicing because I have calculated and I've meditated. And this is where I need to be. Because when I calculated, I see that I'm more effective in prison than I was out there.
Amen.
See? But that won't happen if you don't meditate and calculate. That's what thinking will do for you. Logizomai. Get it? But you got to take time to do that. You can't do that on the fly. Wake up in the morning and you only got 10 minutes. You know, it's like treating God like a drive-thru. I'm going to hit him. I'm going to hit him on the way. You know, push the buzzer to get your order from God and hit him and you're gone. That's not meditation. You got to take some time with God. And he'll help you think it through. And he'll help you add it up. And once you've thought it through and added it up, he'll give you peace. He'll keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on him. When the mind of Christ in you lines up with the Spirit and the Word, you're at the right place. You getting it? Logizomai. So that's what God wants for us. So then, my brothers, sisters, our last day here, I want you to see that we have just learned that in any situation of life, we can and we should have joy and rejoice. In any situation of life, we can and we should have gentleness. And in any situation of life, we can and we should have peace. So as we prepare for the next phase of our journey, our Christian journey together, I'm saying to you, we can and we should leave this place with joy. As we prepare for the next phase of our... Now, I've spent, 30 minutes or more proving to you that God wants us to have this all the time.
Amen.
So certainly we're about to leave. He says, I want you to leave here with the same gentleness that I just talked to you about.
Amen.
Yeah? As we prepare for this next phase, God wants us to have this peace that is beyond understanding. Stop scratching your head about how we're going to solve all these problems. Right? Jesus said, that's my church. And the gates of hell, what? Will not prevail against it. You believe it?
Amen.
I do. I do. If you look at those 12 men, well, 11 genuine, that Jesus picked, everybody looking at them said, "Ain't no." Jesus had to be out of his mind to pick these people. And I'm sure people look at us and think the same way. Half your church on Social Security and unemployed. And y'all bought a building? Can't make mortgage? You don't have no lawnmower? You can't cut the grass? But we're in perfect peace.
Amen. Amen.
Same my plan. But not Perry's plan. It wasn't the deacon's plan. It wasn't your plan. I promise you, if your eyes are open, you'll see God did this. The banks didn't want to do it. So God got in the heart of a little old bank out in past Winfield. Can't think of the area out there. Little old bank. All the big banks said, we can't touch that. God got in the heart of this little old bank out there and said, this is a good deal. Same folks. No money. No. But when God is for you, it's more. He's more than anything and anybody against you. Nobody can stop this. I can't stop it. You can't stop it. So it's best to get on board. So I'm telling you, you need to know you're in God's will. I really want to talk now, but I'm going to back off. You need to find out what God wants you to do. We need musicians. We need people to go to work.
Yeah.
We need it. Stop worrying about it. How are we going to do this? No. Get over here and pray about it.
Uh-huh.
Ask God what he wants you to do. Yes? God's will, done God's way, will have God's provision. Yeah? He's faithful. You believe it?
Amen.
He's faithful. God wants us to leave this place, not only with joy and rejoicing, but I want you to think about this. He wants us to leave this place with gentleness and grace toward each other. Gentleness and grace toward our... We've been gracious and gentle toward our next door neighbor. They have given us no consideration. Been gentle and gracious with the big moving, all the whole thing, the parking lot and all those kind of things. Beer bottles and cigarettes and now they're stealing and all of these kind of... But we've been what? Gracious and gentle. We've been gracious with the city of St. Peter's and all the difficulty. With the real estate agent and with all those involved. Those that tried to get us to lie and cheat. No, we've been great. We don't get violent because people do us wrong. We're gentle and gracious. And God said, that's the way I want you to leave. I kept you that way. Don't go to the end now and blow it.
All right.
Leave just as gentle as you've been. Regardless of how bad it gets. Regardless of what kind of opposition you get. Leave this place gentle. You getting this? He wants us to have peace about our past, peace about today. You say, well, Willie, we made mistakes and errors. Yeah, we did. But God, the blood of Christ covers our faith. Aren't you thankful for that?
Yes.
And so God says you've got to learn how to what? Forget those things that lie behind. And what? Reach forward to those things that lie ahead and what? Press on for the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You believe it?
Amen.
He's going to do it. And he wants us to have peace about it. Peace with him because he's going to do it. We face our future together with joy and rejoicing in the Lord. We face our future together with gentleness toward anyone we encounter. We face our future together with peace about our future relationships, peace about our future ministries, peace about our future place of worship, peace about our trials. I hope you got peace about our financial trials. Do you know that we're living by faith and not by what? Our bank account. Do you believe that?
Amen.
We are not living by the balance of our bank account. God has pushed us to the place, just like with Israel. There was one time he opened up the Red Sea before they ever got there. Remember that? But when it came to the Jordan, he says, get in it.
Yeah.
Until you get in it, you're not going to see your way through it.
Yeah.
That's where we are. We're in it. And you got to wait on him. You believe it?
Amen.
Yes! Yes! He's going to do it. We got to trust God with peace about our future evangelism. Peace about taking hope to the hopeless. Peace about bringing help to the helpless. Peace about bringing friendship to the lonely. Peace about determination bringing determination to the discouraged. And peace about bringing salvation to sinners. He wants us to have peace that he's going to do it. And here's what I want you to remember as I close. We are soldiers in the Lord's army. You believe that? We are citizens in the Lord's kingdom. Yes? We are sheep in the Lord's sheepfold, and we are children in the Lord's family. And we are leaving this place with the Lord's joy, with the Lord's gentleness, and with the Lord's peace, and let the church say, amen. Listen to this as I close. First, you don't have to turn there. I just want you to listen. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16, 17, and 18. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ for you. Amen. If you're not a Christian, you can have this joy. And you can have this gentleness, and you can have this peace, but you've got to come to Christ to get it. He wants it for you, but you cannot have this and your sin too. You've got to come to Christ so that your sins can be forgiven. And once your sins are forgiven and you can finally see you made alive, then you can have all this joy, all this gentleness and peace. So would you come in your heart, would you meet Christ now as we bow together in prayer? Father, I want to thank you for these few minutes that we had together. Thank you for having kept us all these years we've been together. You've been with us, Lord, for almost 6 years now. Brought us through the fires, through the waters, through the storms. Brought us through family crisis and financial crisis and health crisis and crisis with our schools, and all of these things, you've been with us together. And so as we prepare now for the next phase of this journey, would you just fill every heart of every believer with this joy that's from the Lord? Fill our very character with this gentleness that is from the Lord. And then fill us, Lord, with this peace. Peace that surpasses all understanding. And for the one that does not know Christ, would you meet them where they are, draw them to yourself, and make them your own. In Jesus' name, amen.